Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm broadcasting here from my bright red desk with cats sleeping around me on the furniture. It's pouring rain here in New York, 43 degrees. April showers, spring May flowers. Oh, not April yet. That happens this week. But anyway, we are having some rain here in New York. And what we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk to you about the weather in the heavens above, what's going on above our heads, and then how it's going to show up down here on Earth. So we have a lot to talk about this week. There's a heck of a lot going on, not the least of which the eclipses are coming. The eclipses are coming. Twice a year I get to shout that into the phone. I feel like Paul Revere galloping off, and the eclipses are coming, the eclipses are coming. So what eclipses mean to you is light, seeing things in a new way, breakthroughs, revelations, aha moments, and sometimes, I don't want that, I don't want to know that moments, which, you know, we got to honor all the different parts. What the eclipses are for is enlightenment. When the lights go off and they turn back on, you know it's time to take our seat in the theater. We know that, you know, something exciting happened, you know, the power goes out, you know, you didn't pay the electric bill or a tree landed on the wire. There's always a moment when eclipses happen because the sun and the moon are on the same declination, meaning they're on the same plane relative to the equator. And in that time, they are talking to each other. And because they are having this conversation, it's kind of like a parent-teacher conference when you were a little kid and your parents would go and talk to your teacher and you'd sit there really nervous, at least I always did, waiting for them to come home and say what they were going to say. So the eclipses are coming. We officially entered eclipse season. It's going to run for 8 weeks. 2 weeks from now, we have what is called a lunar eclipse, a full moon eclipse, at 25 of Libra and Aries. And then 2 weeks after that, we have a new moon eclipse at 8 Taurus. And then 2 weeks after that, we're done. Because we count the 2 weeks in and the 2 weeks out. So basically, this puppy's running until the middle of May, okay, until May 14th. Obviously, the heated, hot, exciting, percolating, fabulous part happens in when we're right in the middle of the eclipse time. Now, this is a particularly potent eclipse for a couple of reasons. It's sun on the south node, right? Eclipses always are characterized by planets being near the node, but this happens to be the planets are really close to the node. So the sun will be at 25, the node's at 28. Right on top of it makes it a total eclipse, even though you have to be a penguin to see it because you have to be down on the Antarctic to see the baby. But it will definitely be a rock-your-world kind of energy. The other reason we are really paying attention to this eclipse is we have that little cardinal cross forming in the heavens above us, soon to become a cardinal T-square right now, will become a cardinal cross when we get to eclipse time. And then it will start to dissipate through the end of April. So we've been feeling it build and build and build, and we're going to have our 6th of 7 of the Uranus-Pluto squares in this time frame, and we're also going to have Jupiter in there and Mars in there. Now, Mars is going retrograde, and I got a nice note from Teresa the other day, asking me to be a little clearer when I talk, because I said, well, Mars is in a feminine sign. And she goes, no, Mars in Libra is not a feminine sign. Mars in Libra's a masculine sign, right? And I'm like, right, masculine sign answering to a girl, answering to Venus. So I want to clarify that. Mars in Libra is a male sign. Air and fire signs are masculine, yang polarity. They go out and conquer the world. Earth and water signs are receptive, feminine signs, and they wait for things. They hold things. Think of a pond and the earth, how it holds things. Think of fire and air, how action-oriented they are. Mars is in Libra, answering to Venus, who is a girl. That's where I got my, you know, I go fast sometimes, and I have shorthand in my head. So, you know, I do want to clarify, when I make gross mistakes like that, it's not really a bad mistake because it's answering to a girl, but still, you know, so what happens is planets are in signs. Signs are whatever they are. So Libra is a masculine sign. but it's answering to Venus because Venus rules Libra. She rules the spring and the fall, the time when the land is most beautiful, when we have the seasons change, when all the plants bloom in spring and when all the leaves on the trees get gorgeous and pretty in the fall. So Venus is the ruler of Mars when she's in Libra. And, of course, Athena, you know, Athens is named after her. The Acropolis at the top is her Acropolis. She was a warrior goddess. You know, she was a strategician, strategic thinker. I don't know, strategician is probably not a word. She was a strategic thinker. She was a visionary. She was, you know, they worshipped her on those little seven hills surrounding Rome. And they said, protect us, O Athena, because she was wise and worked with the sword. She's the one who... we often see with the sword, also sometimes see her, you know, really being very practical because she's Libran. She's both sides of the story. She's often blindfolded as justice, you know, where she really hears both sides without paying attention to who they are. Kind of like The Voice. You know, when you watch The Voice, they all sit in there listening to The Voice. The audience, of course, can see the person, but they can't, and they have to turn around. This week, interestingly, I always love to watch the astrology show up in the world. This week there was a nun who was singing on The Voice. And it was great. She was a singing nun in Italy. And it's very literal. It's that kind of energy is in the sky, the singing nuns in the sky. So our job with Libra, with Mars in Libra, now going backwards, he's going to be going backwards until May 20th. A lot of people get all nervous when planets go backwards, that, you know, like it's going backwards, I can't do anything, I shouldn't do anything. And for the most part, what you want to do when the planet goes backwards is know that what it really is asking you to do is to revise. Now, there are some people who are born with retrograde Mars. So I had a former assistant who had a retrograde Mars. So she always makes decisions when Mars is retrograde and changes her life. I have, you know, clients with Mars retrograde, and those are the big moments in their life because every 2 years Mars goes retrograde, and they make a big bunch of decisions. But for the rest of us, it's a time of reflection. And a lot of times people say things go backwards. I don't know that they necessarily go backwards. You have to look at the sign. Mars is in the sign of air. It's in the sign of thinking and communication. So it's about renegotiating or communicating in a new way or revisiting or revising some of your thoughts and your ideas about Libra relationships and the actions you want to take in them. So this eclipse is particularly potent because we have the four legs. Everybody's on a leg. And as we go toward, we'll talk more about it next week because we're really going to feel it then. But this week we started off the new moon that we had today, the sun and the moon at 10, is triggering a new beginning, a new cycle starting. And then tomorrow and the next day, tomorrow the moon comes to Uranus, and then the day after that the sun comes to Uranus, which, again, are really enlightening points. Again, this happens once a year, but because Uranus is so highly stressed right now and so highly activated by his energy, the energy he's been getting from Jupiter and Pluto, the beginning of the week can be very explosive energetically. A lot of aha moments, a lot of breakthroughs, a lot of breakdowns, a lot of breakouts. Of course, it is a fire sign, so watch those unexpected fire energies. When I was traveling home the other day from South Carolina, Uranus is in a fire sign, so it's unexpected fire. So there was that very dramatic shot of the construction worker getting rescued as he dropped from balcony to balcony. Of course, Uranus is flying through the air. And then he gets on the little fire guy's crane, and then the building collapses. And it was very, very much the T-square, you know. So that energy, if you didn't see it, go look. It was something, it was in Georgia. But it was a very dramatic footage. And that's the energy we all have somewhere in our chart. Now, obviously, it's much more exciting if it's on one of your planets. If you have a planet that's at 13, 12, 11, 13 in there, 14, you're going to really be feeling it. And the way you find that out is you look at the planet, you look at your chart, and you look at the numbers that have the little dot following them, the little circle. That's the degree. And if you have a degree of 13 or 12 or 14, this eclipse and this cardinal cross and cardinal T-square are right on them. So those planets are really going to be feeling it. If you don't have planets on it, they're somewhere in your chart. So you're going to be watching this play out in some location in your life. So our job when we're having the eclipse energies is to watch. The other thing it does is it closes up the story from November. Okay, there were eclipses in November. The eclipses happen twice a year. And in November, Mercury and Saturn were really working together with the Sun and the Moon. So there was a lot of information that came to the beginning of November. And now this eclipse is a lot about wrapping up that information or figuring out what you want to do with it, because it's at the same positions that the eclipses were in November, okay? So the same degree, 13. So our job is to say, oh, so I learned that in November, and I've been working on it really hard all these months, and now I'm having a moment of enlightenment. And Mars in Libra, I'm going to think about changing, or maybe think about how I want to go back and revise, not necessarily go backwards, what I've decided. And not to say, you know, if you meet the magical, wonderful guy, you know, might be a past life guy, meet the magical, wonderful girl, might be a past life girl, don't freak out about it. You know, like, oh, my God, they came in on a Mars retrograde. Oh, my God, what it is. It's like, no, everything happens for a reason. We're having these energies for a reason. We're renegotiating. We're redividing. And if you think about in November, we were running into Syria and Putin and gas. Remember the gas thing, you know, and then he made the little deal and we're going to get rid of the gas in Syria. And now apparently he's talking to Kerry about Ukraine. Okay, I understand our job with these energies is to look at the bigger cycle and not be freaked out about it, but figure out how we want to use it consciously. It isn't there to hurt you. It's there to help you evolve. And if we know that, we just go, okay, how do I evolve? So this particular week, we have a lot of energy in fire because the sun is in fire, the moon is in fire, Uranus is in fire, Juno is in fire, the nodes in fire, and Eris is in fire. So we've switched from all the water of last month, emotional, soggy, swimming. Now we're into fire, passionate, excitement. And, of course, the eclipses are in fire and air, the first eclipse. And then the second eclipse is in earth and water, the one that takes place on April 29th. But we'll talk about him down the road. But this week, it's a three-page week. Those of you who are regular listeners to the show or readers of my column, we talk a lot about I usually have a two-page week. Every now and then it's a one-page week. But when we have a three-page week, that means we're working with a lot of energy, a lot of excitement up there in the heavens above us. We have a mystic rectangle in the heavens, too, which is a lot about being inspired to follow a path. So I was at a birthday party today for a good friend of mine who turned 80, Shirley Sofer, and we were all with a bunch of astrologers. There were 11 or 12 of us. We were sitting around the table talking, and everybody was talking about astrology and how they came to it and how they found it and the path, the calling. And every time somebody told the story, Virginia would go, and then Mercury came along, you know, because everybody had this little getting led to astrology under different ways, you know, messages, communications, things like that. And so this is a very, very big Mercury week. Mercury is super active this week, and he is in Pisces. So he is talking a lot, and he is telling us a lot of secrets, and he wants to get the secrets out, okay? So we're going to watch Mercury as a big communicator all week long. He's cleared his shadow, and he is moving from 17 Pisces to 28 Pisces, which is fast. He's moving quickly. And in that capacity, he's going to go through the back end of the zodiac. He is going to access an aspect, rather, I'm sorry, Mars. He's going to aspect Saturn. He's going to aspect Pluto. He's basically going to talk to everybody. But he's talking to them all in making them conscious ways. Now, Mercury in Pisces is dreams. A lot of my clients and my students have been reporting dreams. Amazing dreams, these epic journeys, swimming and saving puppies, you know, finding their childhood home and opening the door and going into their bedroom and then angels coming and talking to them. Really, really interesting dreams. So Mercury in Pisces, lots of dreams, extra sensitivity to drug and alcohol. Obviously, it's water, too. We got a lot of rain right now. Mercury's going to be trining Saturn, which is a lot about the communications, again, harking back to November when Mercury and Saturn were joined three times. Sun this week goes from 11 Aries to 17 Aries, so he's in the middle part. So he's going to be going through the cardinal cross. So he's going to be aspecting Jupiter on the 1st. He's going to be joining Uranus on the 2nd. He's going to be squaring Pluto on the 3rd. He's going to be arguing with Mars on the 4th. He's going to be arguing with Chiron on the 5th. And then he's going to be resting on the 6th. So the Sun is very active this week, meaning he's in Aries. He's a primal mode, right? Sun in Aries is all about taking action. It's a cardinal fire sign. It's a match. Light the match, it takes off. I have a friend of mine visiting this weekend, and she came in tonight after having an adventure on Staten Island and says the trains were out. I said, oh, gee, how'd you get home? She goes, I walked. And I went, right, why would I even ask how you got home? Of course you walked. Aries just takes action. We're all going to be in the mood this week to take action. And let me tell you, as that sun goes through that cardinal cross, we're going to feel like, you know, I need to do this now. And when someone says to you, I absolutely have to do this now, know that that's the sun in Aries talking. And it is a little volatile because it is aspecting hard planets, but the sun in Aries really just doesn't much care. It just says, you know what, this is what I got to do, I'm going to do it. And so allow that energy to happen. When the sun hits Uranus on the 2nd, it is definitely an illumination. It's finding out something that you didn't know before. And if we are going to find the black battery, the black box from the flight that crashed in Australia, that'll probably be when they find it. If not, that may be it. Because they got to find it this week or it ain't happening. Mercury, we talked about already. Venus this week is running from 24 Aquarius through 0 Pisces. Oh, we're going to have a sign change with Venus. Venus is entering Pisces, the sign of her exaltation, on Saturday the 5th, which makes her gentle. Now, when she's been in Aquarius these last few weeks, she's been a little detached. She's been sitting back with her arms crossed, kind of looking at you going, really? What are you thinking? Right? Or maybe you were thinking that when someone was talking, you were looking at them going, really? What were you thinking? So Venus in Aquarius has a great deal of energy to do with kind of a detached 20,000-foot view, kind of sees things, looks at things, understands them intellectually, but not so involved. You know, she's a little chilly. When she progresses into Pisces, she gets very sensitive, deeply emotional, highly feeling. Of course, she's going to be joined to Neptune when these eclipses come, because she's moving pretty quickly. So these eclipses are going to be very emotional. Okay, just know that this next couple weeks, very emotional. But when Venus shifts on the 5th into Pisces, she's entering the sign of her exaltation. So she's going to be in a very deep yearning place, yearning for love, yearning for connection, looking for a deeper and more profound emotional experience. She's going to whisper in your ear and say, well, why can't we? Maybe we could. What do you think? And your job when she starts whispering this weekend is to remember, one, she's very young because she just entered the sign, right? And she's very sensitive. And if you were dealing with a little 1 or 2-year-old or 3-year-old or 5-year-old little girl saying to you, well, you know, what I really want, you know, you wouldn't necessarily yell at her, right? So the beginning of this week, everybody's going to be a little detached and a little cold, and, you know, this is what I want. You better give it to me. Venus in Aquarius is very, you know, kind of Aretha Franklin, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, you know. And then when she shifts into Pisces, she's like, oh, puppies and ice cream and cuddles and snuggles. And so there's a big shift on the emotional. Now, of course, when she shifts, Mars and Libra and the North Node and Ceres and Vesta all are going to change how they behave. Because instead of being detached and analytical and, you know, writing me a letter and saying, hey, you know, you're talking about Mars and Libra as if it's a girl, They're going to be very, you know, much more wanting to cuddle, wanting to stay in bed with the covers over your head, feeling deeply sensitive and not so detached, not so analytical, all right? So Mars is still going backwards, though, but he's going backwards now. He's going to be sensitive on top of all this stuff and deeply feeling, right? So during the eclipse period, he is going to be really emotional on top of everything else. But he's also going to be answering to Venus in Pisces, which, of course, we all know Mars in Pisces kind of can roll when the going gets rough. In the same way that fishes do not hang out on the coral reefs when it's rocky because if they back against the reef, it rubs their little fish skin off. Pisces, when Venus goes into Pisces and Mars is now answering to her in Pisces, he's going to be much more retreat-oriented. He's going to disappear, all right? So we're going to find a lot of times this is people bolting or saying, you know, I need some space, or not saying anything and just not calling. Do not take it personally. Of course you will, because it's the eclipses, and these are really designed to rock your world. These are particularly potent eclipses, okay? However, and again, you know, when I try and think about, like, well, why would it do it like this? That's you know, when I'm looking at a chart, I'm always looking at, like, well, why are the heavens giving us this story? You know, what is the story here? What are they trying to make us understand? They're trying to get us out of our own reality into other people's. They're trying to shock us, essentially, into seeing the world from another person's point of view. Not to say that your point of view is incorrect, but to say other people have completely different versions of reality, and they hear things completely differently than you do, and that there's nothing wrong with that, but also that very often we think that everybody sees the world the same as we do, and this is one of those weeks where you're going to go, you really don't see it at all like I do. Don't take it personally. It's an evolutionary opportunity. We love those, of course. Evolutionary opportunity to go, wow, I never thought about it that way. And if you allow that open space, that possibility, as the Uranus unfurls onto the sun and enlightens it, the Promethean moment when Prometheus brought fire to man and the gods said, you are not to give him fire, and they hung him on a rock and an eagle came and ate his liver out. You know, he got off the rock. He didn't stay there forever. But that moment of enlightenment and the aha moment that sometimes we go, wow, that just changes everything. That changes everything. It's going to be that kind of week, right? Leading towards the eclipse. So this is a very potent week. Mars, fortunately, is not doing much except having, you know, his rulership change. But he's having actually very pleasant aspects while he's in Libra. Thank heaven Saturn's not doing much. He's, you know, in Scorpio. He's going backwards. He does have an inconjunct Eris, so you may run into a little bit of envy this week, particularly on the 4th, on Friday. And if you do, just kind of look at it and go, oh, that's envy. I always thought that was whatever, because there's going to be a revelation where you're going to see it differently. But underneath, it's envy. And then you're going to go, Now, the purpose of Eris, what we love about her when we're using her in the higher form, is we look at the situation and we go, well, that may not work in this situation, but I have free will. I'm going to go do it my own way, and you can't stop me. So there's a great opportunity with that for her, for you and her to work together this week in terms of coming up with a new approach. Okay, and allowing that and recognizing if there is envy at work, you know, that you have to kind of accommodate it. And you may run into people that are envious or people that have a grudge against you for really no good reason that you could come up with. And you're going to handle them this week. And you don't have to argue with them, but you do have to be aware that they may not be operating from their highest potential. They may be operating from a I'm going to stir the pot kind of thing. The trick with Aries is not to bite, okay? When she stirs your pot, don't bite. Don't go, you know what, you know, just kind of look at her and go, yeah, you're trying to get me to take a bite on you, huh? You're not going to work. And if you do that with her, that will help because she will, she'll back down a little bit. She won't back down, but she'll go cause trouble somewhere else because she just really likes to stir the pot and cause trouble. And if you don't bite, nothing to stir. Uranus, nothing much. It, helping you see your patterns on April 2nd, but that's part of the aha moment, I think, of the Sun Uranus. Pluto, not much. Little health aspects with him. He's in Capricorn, so this is kind of the spring cold season and perhaps some kind of bone thing or skin thing. A lot of times, or liver thing. A lot of times I find with this season it's a great time to do a detox or a cleanse. Suddenly all the pimples on your face decide they want to erupt. You know, because he's in Capricorn, this is a great time for a facial or that kind of thing if you are so inclined. Nothing going on much with Juno. She's not in the mood to bite with fights either with Eris. She's kind of looking at Eris going, you can't make me. Ceres joins up with the Nodes of Destiny tomorrow, March 31st. So there'll be a forward movement around relationships and partnerships, tying back to 1982, if you're old enough to remember that, fall of 82. If not, tying back to your firm understanding of what relationship is. And basically, that's it for the week. It's a pretty week, but it's pretty busy week. It's leading into the eclipses. It's a three-pager. There's also a Hammer of Thor in there. What a Hammer of Thor does is it's going to be pounding the patterns into your head, asking you to really see them. And, you know, consciousness is not selective, unfortunately. We can't say, I only want to be conscious about this stuff. I don't want to be conscious about that. And literally, we had conscious uncoupling with Gwyneth and Chris Martin, this Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin. Well, come to find out, the dentist actually got the idea from some therapist, and so she's like, I want credit for it. You know, we don't have a control on consciousness. Consciousness comes, ideas travel, process, ideas, beginning, vision, all that stuff, very up and running, okay? So at any rate, forward we go. The moon this week in Aries tomorrow, full new moon, and its closing aspect is a sextile to Venus. Makes it lovely, juicy, delicious. You're able to get a lot accomplished. Moon is void Monday night. Goes into Taurus on Tuesday and Wednesday. And that is, of course, when the sun is super busy. Now, Moon in Taurus is exalted, which is a great place for it to be while you're having all of this revelations because it's going to be very grounding. Of course, you may want to overeat because you're having these revelations, but that's okay. Or overspend because the moon squares Venus as her closing aspect when she's in Taurus. So you may find you're buying something that's a little pricey on the first or the second as part of your emotional processing for your aha moment that the Sun Uranus is giving you. Or you may just find something that you know, yeah, that's what I'm going to buy. I've been looking at this really expensive table online. I'm not going to buy it on Monday and Tuesday, but I've been thinking about it. On Thursday, the moon goes into Gemini. And it's in Gemini on Thursday and Friday, of course, giving us a bifurcated energy. Closing aspect is a square to Mercury. Watch for miscommunications on Wednesday and Thursday. When people react emotionally, especially after whatever blows their water out on the first and the second, say to them, what did you hear me say? Because probably they didn't hear you correctly, all right? Then on the 5th, Venus goes into Pisces, and she's in Pisces, you know, now till the end of the month, till the beginning of May. But the moon goes void and is void on Saturday from 11 in the morning until 6 at night. And then it goes into Cancer, and the closing aspect with Cancer is a trine to Saturn. Okay, it's in Cancer on Saturday and Sunday. So just watch communications extra special on Thursday and Friday, and have a great time. The eclipses are coming, and you can't do anything about it. So just have fun and just be enlightened and help all the people around you that are going, oh, my God, what the hell is going on? And you go, time for enlightenment. rockin' world. So it's lots of energy, lots of activity, and it's high fire. So watch candles. Do not leave them unattended, okay? No unattended candles in your house. Take care. Have a great week. This is Ann Ortley signing off. Take care. Bye-bye.